Psalm is written by David. And he, of course, is relating his experience in his heart. But when we read the Psalms, I encourage you in reading Psalms to look not only at the writer, which many of them are, David, but to understand that it's all given by divine inspiration. And though the writer may be describing a personal experience, by divine inspiration, it all points to Christ. Remember, on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection, Luke 24, the Bible says that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, that is all the Old Testament, not part of it, but all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That is to say that Christ is to be found in every single portion of God's Word. We don't understand it all. We might not be able to grasp it all, but he's there. He's there. Now, this psalm of David was written when Saul was persecuting him and sought to kill him. Saul is the king. David is not yet the king. And it's believed to be written when he was hiding out in the cave Adullam, hiding from Saul because he wanted to kill him. He prays openly to the Lord, that is, out loud, vocal, twice in verse 1, we read the words, with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Now, if you don't want anybody else to hear you pray, you pray when you're driving down the road or when you're alone. But pray out loud to the Lord. It's not that he can't hear your thoughts, yes, but you might not even hear your thoughts. Pray out loud. I do that, and you'll discover how dumb some of your words are sometimes. But it's a good thing, with my voice. So I want to begin, before we get to the main thought, to mention four things about this prayer. And we'd do well to take note of these things. First, his prayer was passionate. He begins, I cried unto the Lord. And again in verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. And in verse 6, attend unto my cry. His prayer was not just a cold and formal speech, but it was hot and passionate. He's crying to the Lord. And of course, such passion in prayer to the Lord can only come from the Lord. We cannot make ourselves as concerned about things as we ought to be and about people as we ought to be. But what a blessing it is when he brings us to this. When does it come? Verse 3, it comes when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Oh, the Lord does that for us. The passion is described in verse 2 as a pouring out. I poured out my complaint before him. It was very passionate. And then the second thing, his prayer was very private or personal. I'm looking at the emphasis of the repetition of I and my. Verse 1, I cried unto the Lord. With my voice did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. He's not on this occasion going to the Lord to talk about how bad others are. And it's blessed to be burdened for someone else's need. But it's me that's in trouble here, Lord. And then the third thing, his prayer is very pointed. It's to the Lord. He didn't cry to men. He didn't whine to people, but to the Lord only. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord. And verse 2 said, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. My complaint. We must not complain of the Lord. We can complain to the Lord. And there must be that distinction that we're not complaining of the Lord's doings. And then the next thing would be the precise purpose of his prayer. He says in verse 2, this is about my complaint, my trouble. He didn't beat around the bush and talk about how unworthy he was, and he was unworthy. He didn't whine and almost apologize for trying to pray. No, he just poured out his heart. He just told the Lord, I'm in trouble, I need you, and that's why I'm calling on you. Remember the story in Luke 15. The younger son, when he came back home, he was going to go in to apologize about all this unworthiness. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Yeah, yeah. He had this speech made up. Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son if you'll just give me a job. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now, you know how far he got with that speech? Father, that's the end of it. Bring forth the best robe. Kill the fatted calf. As the Lord's children, we don't have to come to him and whine all the time about how unworthy we are. And we are unworthy. But oh, to get a hold of the fact that he cares and he's ready to listen and hear our cry. Oh my. No one really prays without a deep sense of need that only the Lord can give us in the first place. And only the Lord can intervene. But for my message this morning, I want to talk about refuge failing and refuge found. Refuge failing and refuge found. There are many circumstances, conflicts, crises in this world for which there's no refuge to be found in this world. There's no hiding place. There's no escape. A lot of people don't understand that there's some things money can't buy. There's some things the lawyer can't fix. There's some things the doctor can't do. And the person that lives thinking they've got it made is in real trouble and don't know it. Our reliance is upon God every moment of every day. Now, David says in verse 4, refuge failed me. He had nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And he had done nothing to warrant Saul's hatred of him. It was all out of jealousy and envy on Saul's part. When little David had been blessed of God and called forth to do something he probably never even dreamed he'd do, He was sent to the battlefield to check on his brothers. And boom, here's this giant over there cussing the God of Israel. And little David, of all people, said, he can't do that. And you know the story. With his sling, he slew the Philistine giant, Goliath. Cut his head off. And the army went ahead and defeated the Philistines. And when they came back to town, here comes the army marching back in victorious. And here comes David toting Goliath's head. And all the women it says, I guess it might have been a man or two singing, but women were singing, praising. Saul had slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. That didn't set well with Saul. From that day forth, he despised and wanted to kill David. Now David is living in caves in the mountains, hiding out along with some homeless men. 1 Samuel 22:2 describes the men that were with David living out in the wild. It said they were men that were in distress and in debt and discontented. Fellas without any refuge really in this world. So they were there. David was not alone, and yet he was alone. Did you ever feel like that? Not alone, but yet alone. And verse 4, he says, I looked on my right hand. That's the hand of strength and authority, except for me right now. In ancient courts of law, the advocate or the attorney, the lawyer, would stand on the right hand of the accused. I guess they still do. And David says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man, no refuge. Spurgeon said the psalmist felt himself in the condition of one who had nobody to plead his cause or protect him from the danger he was in. Refuge failed me. Not only was David feeling alone, he felt abandoned. He goes on to say, there was no man that would know me. Now here's what hurts. Didn't say no man that did know me, but no man that would know me. The whole nation feared King Saul. And because of his hatred for David, it was better for every man to take the position, I don't know him. I'll not identify with him. No man would know me. Like Simon Peter betrayed the Lord, I know not the man. So David says, no man would know me. Refuge failed me. I had no one. He goes so far as to say, no man cares. No man cared for my soul. So many conditions in this world when individuals feel alone and abandoned and no help and no way out, no answer, nowhere to turn, no one to turn to. And say with David, refuge failed me. Some come to the place physically with sickness and with disease when the doctor says, there's really nothing more I can do. We've tried everything. Every possible refuge failed. and not only physically, but in most every family, there's conflict. There's broken relationships. Things we just can't fix. Marriage problems, sibling problems. And if you this morning have a family in which everybody gets along, and I doubt there's hardly anybody here like that, but if you do have that, you have much to thank God for every day. Refuge fails us in this world. But then there's refuge found. David knows his only hope for refuge. Verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, and here it is, thou art my refuge. In verse 4, looking around in every direction, he says, refuge failed me. But in verse 5, he's not looking around, he's looking up. He says, O Lord, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. This world, by the way, is the land of the dying. Did you know that? Because of sin, that's what this whole globe has become, is one huge graveyard. This is the land of the dying. But David said, O Lord, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. To be in Christ is to be in the land of the living. David is saying, though I don't see any way out of this predicament, Lord, you are the way for me. Whatever you do is right. However this turns out will be your portion for me. I'll give you some other scriptures just to bring this down closer. David is not the only one who claimed the Lord as his refuge. Now let me throw this in about refuge, about a hiding place. Now when I was a kid, we'd play hide and seek. Anybody ever done that? Okay, and the one that's going to do the hunting, he has to close his eyes and count to 100. Of course, all counters cheat on that. Got to count to 100. Well, many times, if you're the counter, you'll get to 100, you'll turn around and start to go looking, and you'll see one person running from here to here to here. They hadn't decided on a refuge. They went here to hide first, saying, no, I think I better move. And they wind up not hiding anywhere because you saw them. Huh? I wonder this morning, how many of you are running that? Hey, there's no good place in this world to hide. But Moses, in Deuteronomy 32, in verse 27, said to the Israelites, the eternal God is our refuge. He's got a gang of people in a barren wilderness for 40 years. Said, hey, this ain't it. There's no hiding place here. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. When our God, who rules over all, and he controls all, how vain it is to put much confidence in anything or anyone else. The eternal God is thy refuge. Psalm 9 and verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. Solomon said, the wise man, Proverbs 14, 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. You want your confidence to be strong? It's in the fear of the Lord. And his children shall have a place of refuge. Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 25, 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. The Lord is our refuge. Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah 16, 19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. So there's David and another psalmist, and Moses and Solomon and Isaiah and Jeremiah. All have said, the Lord is our refuge. Don't waste your time hiding anywhere else. The songwriter Charles Wesley said it like this. That's why I want us to sing that this morning. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. All else has failed. Thou art my refuge. Another great songwriter, Ira Sankey, he wrote this, O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Think of the unknown number of saints, generations gone by, for many of us grandparents and parents who have weathered the storms of life in much worse conditions than we live in. How? Only because they could say, the Lord is my refuge. My hiding place is not anywhere you can see around here. It's in Him. So my question, is He your refuge today? Or are you still so self-centered and so deceiving yourself to think you're self-sufficient as to be able to fight your own battles and win this war? It'll never happen. It can't happen. We're no match. Is God your refuge? Don't run in your own resources, your own strength, your own reputation, your own influence, and your own maybe so-called authority with men. It'll all fail. That same songwriter said, the raging storms may round us beat. They do. A shelter in the time of storm. I'll do what? Fight back? No. No, I'll never leave, we'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. He's not talking about a place, he's talking about a person. Brother Jim sings, sometimes Christ will be the lily in your valley, a refuge in the storm. Remember when the disciples were out at sea one night and they were in a terrible storm. They were convinced they were going under. And they fought it long as they could. And finally they give up and confessed that fighting the storm wasn't the answer. That's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. Fighting the storm in your own strength is not the answer. The Lord was the only one taking a nap. He went back and woke him up. And Lord, don't you care? We're going under here. Do something. He did. Peace. Be still. He calmed the storm. So the refuge is not a place, but a person. A rock wherein we can rest in this weary land. The last two verses, the plea, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Lord, I'm beyond being able to handle this. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. What a lot of people said about the pandemic. Oh, we'll just put this behind us, you know. All the start back up's done been delayed numerous times. We'll get rid of this. Lord, help us to realize that all of life in general is too much for us. Stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison. David was talking about being stuck in that cave, having to hide out for his own life. Oh, he wasn't a coward. That wasn't it. But when the whole country's against you and going to kill you, it's not wise to stand there and let them cut your head off. He did the right thing. But he's crying to the Lord, bring my soul out of this prison that I may praise thy name. Now there's his motive, that I may praise thy name. I wonder if we don't pray a lot of times, Lord, fix my problem so I can get on with life, being myself, what I want to be and what I want to do. No, no. Don't miss this. Bring my soul out of prison. Why? That I may praise thy name. And say, O Lord, you've been good. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. He believed the Lord would deliver. So that's the thoughts I'm leaving with you this morning. Refuge failing and refuge found. Any refuge you come up with will be refuge failing. But in the Lord is refuge found. Amen.